Good morning, everyone, and we welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable at the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent in the United States of America. Today is Sunday, January 29th, 2017. Our subject is love. Golden text, Psalm 18:1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Before we get into the lesson, I would like Florence to talk a little bit about what she said at actually it was our membership meeting. It was a quote. I want you all to hear it. We've talked about it before, but it's an important one.
Yeah, it's on page 321 of Mrs. Eddy's 6 Days of Revelation by Richard Oakes. She gave this warning to Mrs. Annie Knott, CSD principal of the Detroit Christian Science Institute, that the time might come when medical thought might be so organized that it would make the practice of Christian Science almost impossible. Then she gave the remedy as not the counterpower of Christian Science churches, but that her students, she hopes at that time, will do all that they can to make science and health available to the whole world. And I don't know, every time I read it, I feel that the time is now because of how organized medical thought is. In so many avenues, this thought is being pushed. And only science and health has the answer, you know, to reveal its powerlessness. Because the world over, everybody wants good health. And where is it now? The emphasis is on, you know, what the material body, what is it, what you have to do with the body, the many different things you can bathe with, the many things you have to eat, and all these things. We see it all the time. Everybody is aware of this. But I think it's something not to ignore, just like she gave the warning for us to daily handle the weather. I feel it's equally important that we daily handle any opposition to this book, because it is the book that has the answer to everything, everything that the world is confronting, the whole world today.
Thank you very much. Florence had found that quote a few years ago, and it's hugely important. And as most of you know, Florence now is recording Science and Health. It's out on YouTube. And what do you have to say about that, Florence?
Yes, I mean, there's definite opposition, as again she warns, because if it's not the computer, it's the headset. If it's not the headset, it's always something resisting this. And I'm just so grateful that she has also given us how to face all this, to know that it's really nothing. It has, or more importantly, it is powerless to stop God's work from going forward. So, but I feel that, you know, collectively, if we are praying for this, it helps. It helps.
Absolutely.
Clear the atmosphere.
Yes. And getting it out in this way, out on the airwaves, so to speak, it is doing its work. Mrs. Eddy knew it would do its work, and it is doing its work. It's spiritualizing thought. It is the leaven of truth working. And it is going out to the far corners of the earth. And support it in your prayers. Support it. You all are supporting it every time you come here. You write on the forum. You study your lesson. You read Science and Health. Every time you certainly listen to the audio. All of these things are supporting this truth going out. And it will cut through all the opposition and all the materialism. Unless a church has what we refer to as a spiritual organization, unless it is based on the on primitive Christianity and is not this huge organization that is dictating to you, it becomes cumbersome and it will ultimately fail. That doesn't mean that we don't necessarily need to have churches, but it means that they must be spiritually organized, so to speak, and Mrs. Eddy does say that.
Which means the basis has to be individual demonstration.
Thank you.
I feel like in this church, what it's done for me is lifted the veil on science and health and cleared a way so that I could understand it better, and it's like living the science and health, so I feel like it's putting it out there by doing that.
Thank you, and that's the reason why we do, why we have the Bible studies, why we have the roundtables. We are breaking down the misconceptions, the miseducation on science and health, and so it will be. It's clear, correct teaching, and we have all the early workers helping us as well, standing with us, as well as certainly Mrs. Eddy in Christ Jesus.
I would like to add something, please.
Oh, go ahead.
Just last week, I was working on the newsletter, and it worked out very smoothly. This is the first time that it has been comfortable. However, there was one little minor change. That morning, I talked to the practitioner and told her that I was going to be working with the newsletter that day. And it worked absolutely marvelously. So I know that she was working for me. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Jim. And this is the work that is done. It's clearing the mental atmosphere. And it has to be done. Now, I want to go on now to the watching point for this week. Go ahead, Linda.
Okay, I want to thank Shardy because she found it and it was so timely, and it was I was grateful to have been shown it. It's watching number 145. Watch lest the evidence of error that confronts you lead you to believe that the battleground of Christian Science, on which we win our victories, is ever in any place but your own thinking. We are not trying to change the world's condition, but our sense of the world's condition. We are not trying to correct or perfect mankind so that they may be fit to take their place in the kingdom of heaven. We are endeavoring to rend the veil in our own thinking that would cause us to believe that they are not perfect now, or not in the kingdom of heaven now. Mrs. Eddy once wrote, quote, "Error is nothing but erroneous thought, and we must never give into it or go down before it," end quote. Also she said, quote, "Error is non-scientific thinking, and scientific or true thinking is all that is needed to destroy it," end quote. Scientific treatment of the sick opens the door so that the patient is governed by divine mind rather than the human mind. But when we believe that we argue to change the patient's thought about himself, we are liable to forget God's part in the operation and thus descend to mind cure, which is little more than an attempted mental manipulation. When you try to heal your patient as if he were something apart from you, you are working with effect. You are working with effect rather than with cause. You are trying to focus on the moving picture by attempting to change something on the screen. You must go to the cause of the trouble, which is in the projector, and correct it there.
Thank you very much. So remember this in dealing with everything yourself and certainly with world affairs. If you're going to see error in a boogeyman and you think it's something out there that you've got to battle with, well, you're making a reality of it, and you're going to end up seeing it everywhere and finding it everywhere. You're going to find injustice everywhere. You're going to find hate everywhere. You're going to find division everywhere. You will see it everywhere because your projector is screwed up. Okay, you've got to get your vision clear. And it's not easy, especially when it's being pounded on you every which way. So keep your own counsel, trust in truth, have no other trust, and know that God reigns supreme, and as in heaven, so on earth. We keep knowing this truth. We have to. And the louder error screams, what? You don't have it?
It's your truth.
It's coming out to be destroyed.
Yes.
Your truth lives
in the light. The truth
lift its voice?
Yeah. This voice, until its inarticulate sound is silenced forever. And also, why stand aghast at nothingness? You know, the more you think about it and chew on it and make it a reality, the bigger and more it's going to be. There's absolute proof throughout the ages of God's love and protection for his creation, no matter what governments were doing. And certainly the reign of Christ during the Roman Empire is wonderful evidence of that.
Again, that empire fell, too, so.
That empire fell. Whatever's not right will fall by its own hand. And those of you who join in the watches and really work with the watches will find your thoughts much more uplifted and ready to meet what comes during the day than if you don't. The watches are highly important. They will keep you. Mrs. Eddy says, don't beat out against the mist. Simply rise above it. So, stay with your watching. We're going to get into that in the lesson. I think I'll wait for the transformations till next week because I have so much today to talk about that I want to get into. I will, Jeremy. You can mention about what you wrote in the responsive reading on the forum. Gary, read it. Number two.
The responsive reading Psalms. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower.
Okay, Jeremy?
You want me to read on it?
Well, however, you can tell it or read it.
Oh, okay. Well, after reading that, I just was struck that every single component of it was, you know, something we've gone over here, and I was able to understand how each of these things applied to my life now. So, you know, and like the rock that David hurled, you know, is what we're supposed to use against error, and it's the rock we're supposed to build upon. And I always felt so vulnerable and defenseless before coming here, and now I feel that there's this fortress of truth I could get in, and I should be in. And I know he certainly delivered me from a lot of nonsense, and I'm so grateful for that all the time. So, just the whole thing was so valuable.
Yeah, I mean, after you read that, is there anything that God does not do? He's everything. So remember that. If you have a need, if you wake up in the morning and you maybe you have to be delivered from some physical problem, you have to be delivered from a family situation, you need out, God is your deliverer. If you're feeling weak, instead of, you know, doing jumping jacks and lifting weights, remember, God is your strength. He's your buckler. What's a buckler?
I guess people had to be helped put their armor on. Everything had to be buckled in a certain way. So when I was thinking about it, I was thinking about, you know, how when you have a little kid, and you help them put their shoes on and everything, you know. It gave me a real, this shows the love that he has for us right there.
Yeah, and a buckler was actually a shield used by the Romans, and it was 4 feet tall. If you've ever watched some of these movies, they all have these huge shields. They covers your whole body. It's a whole protection. And so when they were in battle, they would all kneel with this shield over them, and it was a total protection of their whole body. That's what God is for you, a whole protection for your whole body and everything that implies. Totally protecting you. He's your salvation. He's your way to truth. He's what we've talked about, staying on the straight and narrow. He's what does that. And your high tower. He lifts above you. He lifts you up above the human mortal myth of the Adam dream and keeps you there. So you will not experience all the buffetings and pain and sorrow. But in order for him to be all those things, we must. And who would like to read number one in Science and Health? Lil.
We acknowledge and adore one supreme and infinite God.
Thank you. So, acknowledge. What does it mean to acknowledge?
Recognize.
Thank you.
Yeah, you have to admit that there is a God. There's some tremendous, wonderful entity, power, source, that made us, that governs us.
It's most important, and Mrs. Eddy says that in Science and Health, doesn't she? A just acknowledgement of God and what he has done. You think of the 10 lepers. 9 of them did not acknowledge God, is that right? They did not. Only one did. Make sure you're acknowledging God in your daily life, praising him, thanking him, realizing his presence, testifying on Wednesdays, sharing it with others.
Suzanne
wrote something beautiful on the forum. Go ahead.
I think it does say also that returning to give thanks is that acknowledgement that a divine principle had healed him.
Thank you.
That kind of struck me.
Yes, that it just didn't happen.
It does say you did it with a loud voice. Didn't anyone else hear? I would assume they must have ignored it because they were going sort of on a group, I would assume.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting then.
That shows even when the word is being spoken, a lot of people don't hear it. Or they hear what is in their own thought. I don't know if you've ever spoken to someone and they've said that you have said things that you aren't even thinking of. And that happens, and they're whirling around in their own thought, and they will project what they think onto you, or try to.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, so watch out for that. And certainly Jesus had it. People were always misinterpreting what he said. It's because of their own human sense of things, they couldn't see the truth. And what I was going to say, Suzanne on the forum quoted Matthew Henry about the importance of sharing this truth. And certainly that was the gist of our wonderful Bible study yesterday. Love for God, love for man, and then sharing it with others. Giving that truth, acknowledging God's presence and power. They were wonderful questions from Shahida. So, this is what we were required to do. And then to adore. What is to adore?
To cherish, to be in reverence in its the thought of it. I mean,
thank you.
That's why the scientific interpretation of the Lord's Prayer that Mrs. Eddy has given us. What? How do we refer to God?
Adorable.
Yeah.
Thank you.
God alone is adorable.
Okay.
see how people adore worldly leaders like the president, governor, king, some people who just who come and live, but they just can't even acknowledge God that way. Honor to God. I would say he sees on the throne.
Thank you. We have to be very careful. We do not see some person other than the Christ as our Savior. Very dangerous. God is our Savior.
Or and to endanger the person that's offering. That's the human do-goody again. And you're acting like the Christ.
Yeah.
I realized that. I was shocked myself that I was not thinking God.
Yeah. You think you're the one that's doing it rather than God. And that goes to citation 2.
Okay. Dost thou love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind? This command includes much, even the surrender of all merely material sensations, affections, and worship. This is the El Dorado of Christianity. It involves the science of life and recognizes only the divine control of spirit in which soul is our master, and material sense and human will have no place.
Thank you. In Science and Health, in the index, the little side comments, Mrs. Eddy has practical religion next to this quote. This is what's practical. Does anyone know what the El Dorado of Christianity is? What's El Dorado?
I don't know. City of gold? It's conquistador.
It's like this.
Yeah, yes. It's sort of the... Yeah. It's sort of the mystical objective of all the early Spanish explorers looking for the city of gold, the city of gold. The final prize.
The supreme destination.
Yeah. Right.
Is that what you were going to say, Florence?
Yeah.
Yes. So, and you know, there are many ways this false sense of worship can come in, and you just have to make sure you're watching, turning it back to God, and making sure you are worshiping in a practical way, which is living it. Giving up the human mind is always the trouble, the human mind. So, okay, number 3, which I think is maybe the most important statement in the whole lesson. So, let's see. Florence, would you read it?
Sure. Simply asking that we may love God will never make us love him, but the longing to be better and holier, expressed in daily watchfulness and in striving to assimilate more of the divine character, will mold and fashion us anew until we awake in his likeness.
Thank you. Any comments on that one?
It's not words. It's not saying I love God. How is my life? How is my desire? What is my willingness daily to do what it takes to live this truth?
Thank you. To me, I mean, I struggled so with wanting to love God, but yet feeling that I was afraid of him and didn't know how to love him. And so this statement always meant so much to me because, you know, just to ask God that you could love him doesn't necessarily make you love him. So what do you do? You long to be better and holier.
You watch your thoughts. You watch your motives. It's work. Striving to assimilate more the divine character needs to watch. What is your motive? Is there any material sensation, affection, or worship in any of your motives?
Look at it daily. Don't take a vacation from it.
Yeah. There's an article, too, on our watch, on our carousel by Cheney. That talks about the desire to let go of the fears and the doubts and the distrust of God and to just desire good, expecting good, being faithful and grateful.
Thank you.
And also, it's work to cultivate your spiritual sense, isn't it?
Sure.
You know, you get these thoughts from God and then you question, is this from God or is it my imagination? Cultivating your spiritual sense, trusting it, testing it.
Spiritual rationality the last week.
Yeah.
Assimilate means to cause, to resemble, to convert into a like substance. Fashion is to shape, imitate, pattern. You know, we spend so much time, or we can, the human sense of things, in trying to look good and feel good and all of this. Think of the hours spent. And yet if it were directed in knowing God better, this is what will shape and form you anew, fashion you, assimilating his character. This is the godliness that is necessary in order to have a fulfilling life. I'm going to have Gary read in Galatians a few verses. This is also the final paragraph of Mrs. Eddy's article, Mrs. Eddy's chapter on an animal magnetism in the textbook. Go ahead.
Galatians 5. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law.
I never really liked that long list of all the terrible things. But gee, that's an awful long list. But, you know, it can be a checklist. If you start feeling some of those things, it shows you're not in the Spirit. And then think on what it really is to be fashioned and molded to God. What are the characteristics? And it's the fruit of the Spirit, and it's listed there. And make that your touchstone. That's how you should be feeling. And if you're getting off feeling that way, then you bring yourself back. That doesn't mean you ignore error, and it doesn't mean you don't rebuke error, because you have to. But it means you keep your thoughts stayed. You know, we had a watch message this week about that, not to react with emotionalism and to everything that goes on, and to be able to stand in the midst of seeming difficulties unmoved, with a strong faith in God. This is godliness, and this will be what forms you anew. And it's most important that we do this and understand it.
And it all gets back to, what do I love? Do I love the truth? Do I love the things of God? Or do I love my car, my house, my bank account?
My ego.
My ego. What do I love?
So, and we will go now to 9 in Science and Health, because it all goes together. Not that all these other passages aren't, they're all important to us. Okay. Jeffrey, you want to read 9?
Not materially, but spiritually, we know him as divine mind, as life, truth, and love. We shall obey and adore proportion as we apprehend the divine nature, love him understanding, warring no more over the corporeality, but rejoicing in the affluence of our God.
Thank you. Again, obey and adore. And that's in proportion as we apprehend the divine nature. So what are you thinking about? What are you obeying and adoring? And not warring over the corporeality. All of this warring over the corporeality that's going on. That's just warring over the Adam dream, and there's no answer to that.
It's one human belief fighting another human belief.
But think about what this, rejoicing in the affluence of our God. What is affluence?
Overflowing, plenty.
Thank you. Yes. So that's what we do. We rejoice in God's affluence. We see that, and we see it everywhere. And as you see it everywhere, as you're rejoicing in it, it will be everywhere.
But it's very practical. As you look at other people, do you look at them with the attitude that the good that God gives me is infinite and it's available to them and everyone? Or do you look at others with the attitude that, well, you know, there's a finite amount of good here and I've got a certain amount of it and I'm not going to let anybody else steal it from me and I got to protect it, and on and on and on? Makes all the difference in the world how you think about other people.
And do we acknowledge this supreme God? Then we know he's omnipresent, he's omnipotent, and he's omniscient. He's everywhere. And no one is lacking his care. And if you are deceived into believing otherwise, you are being deceived.
Then you're fearful, and then you have to, you know, make plans to let others not have.
Yes.
Right. And then you've deserted divine love.
Really dishonored it, I mean.
Yep.
Yes, you have. But it says here that we have to love him understandingly. And this is how you love him understandingly. Knowing him and knowing that what is good for one person is good for everyone. It's omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. It's everywhere. No one is lacking. And to be praying this way and loving, that's loving your neighbor as yourself. I mean, I don't think, I wouldn't want to be thought of as some poor mortal who doesn't have what they need and, you know. No, you want to be seen rightly. And in seeing the other person rightly, you will help spiritualize and elevate all mankind. But the work needs to be done. It's not selfishly ignored while you're just enjoying your own good time. Okay, and that goes to Florence, number 13, the last sentence that you wrote about on the forum. Go ahead, would you read it?
Yeah, I'm getting it right here. It's the last sentence?
Last sentence. One must.
For one must fulfill one's mission without timidity or dissimulation. For to be well done, the work must be done unselfishly.
Thank you. And what did you write about that?
Okay, I looked up, you know, timidity, because Webster always gives a little more. And it's fearfulness, want of courage or boldness to face danger, timorousness, habitual cowardice. Timidity in one person may be a good trait of character, while in another it is a deep reproach. And then dissimulation is the act of dissembling, a hiding under a false appearance, a feigning, false pretension, hypocrisy. Dissimulation may be simply concealment of the opinions, sentiments, or purpose, but it includes also the assuming of a false or counterfeit appearance which conceals the real opinions or purpose. And then I wrote that we can only do this work through his name and nature, to me means by obeying his laws and working as his reflection. The thought of oneness comes with this, that we can do nothing of ourselves, but must do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. The wonderful assurance of this is found in these verses we are often reminded of here, and we all know these. I and my Father are one. That's from John 10:30. The Father that dwelleth in me, he does the work. From John 14:10, and my Father hath not left me alone. From John 8:29.
Thank you. So this is yes, the love for God. Yes, the love for our brother. The work has to be done, and it has to be done unselfishly. So thank you very much. And those definitions are so helpful. Because timidity is selfishness, and dissimulation, hypocrisy, all of that, trying to deceive people and make you think, oh, you're doing wonderful things for others, but you're really not.
Or confusing the timidity as humility, which is not.
It's not. Yes. And then that goes with, you know, I don't ever start a watch without this statement in mind. Whatever holds human thought in line with unselfed love receives directly the divine power. So when you are watching unselfishly, you are receiving directly the divine power. Just how it works. It just comes to you. And don't ever doubt that or think that your prayers or your watching are not important. You're receiving directly the divine power. Because if you think that, and you think, oh, well, what good is a watch, or I don't need to watch, or what I'm watching has no effect, you're totally annulling everything. Why think that? No, you know this. You're receiving directly the divine power, and that word is going out, and it is blessing mankind, and it is reaching the far corners of the earth with healing on its wings.
As it is. The key is when it's done unselfishly.
Unselfed. Someone was saying, I think it was Linda, getting yourself out of the way and letting God work.
Sometimes Carol would try to present pictures to us. Try to make us believe that our prayers or watches
of noise to discourage us, as we see all the time, in different means to do it. They can necessarily find to discourage us from doing the work. But sometimes I ask myself, what would be the situation if we stop praying? So that's what I don't want to
discourage.
Yeah,
exactly right. Thank you. That's when you pray all the more. And all you're doing, it's already, everything is already perfect and complete. You're just bringing yourself in line with that perfection so that you will have the eyes to behold it and see it. And it's very important and helps elevate, spiritualize the race. And this is having part in the at-one-ment.
The watches that really, when I first came to Plainfield, didn't know much about it, but I started to get, I don't know how it happened, I just got involved with the watches, and I was in Maine when I just did it, and my friend was doing it. She was letting me do this, and that's when I started to understand what Plainfield was like about. It was because they're so good. It was what you said.
Thank you. Yeah, and it was done in Mrs. Eddy's home, and it should have never been stopped. Now, the last, number 15. Let's see, Fairley, do you have it to read?
Yes. Love fulfills the law of Christian Science, and nothing short of this divine principle, understood and demonstrated, can ever furnish the vision of the apocalypse, open the seven seals of error with truth, or uncover the myriad illusions of sin, sickness, and death.
Thank you. So, it is this love of God and then love for ourselves and each other that is going to furnish the vision of the apocalypse. Open the seven seals of error with truth or uncover the myriad illusions of sin, sickness, and death. So, what are the seven seals of error? Trick question. Well, I had time to look because it was brought to my attention by someone whose husband asked them, well, what are the seven seals of error? And in the Kratzer book, he writes about it, the seven seals. And he gives you first the seven seals of truth and then the seven seals of error. So, cast of characters. God, divine mind, the Father. And so that's the one that sat on the throne. Now, what is the seven seals of error? Satan, mortal mind, the father of lies, referred to in Revelation as the four winds of earth, the red horse with the rider. Okay, then Christ, the Lamb, the Son, referred to in Revelation as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Roof of David, the white horse and rider, the angel from the east. And what is that opposite? The beast, worldly government, black horse and rider. Then, the Holy Spirit, the faithful and true witness, the true prophet, it's referred to in Revelation is the throne, wherever it appears, the voice of a trumpet, lightnings and thunderings and voices, the seven lamps of fire, the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and the wrath of the Lamb, the sea of glass, the four beasts. And its opposite is the second beast, the false prophet, the worldly church. Eustace writes about this, the false prophet. It's well to study that one. And it's referred to in Revelation as the darkening of the sun and moon due to false doctrine. False doctrine would dim your sight as to the truth. Then, the apostles of Christ, angels, messengers, collectively the same as the Holy Spirit, And it's referred to in Revelation as the elders about the throne, four angels on four corners of the earth. It's opposite, seal of error, the apostles of Satan. Referred to in Revelation as trees, and established and respected human institutions, which are strongholds of error. Then, the truth, the spiritual woman, the bride, the true church, referred to in Revelation as the sea of glass, the four beasts, and also the Holy Spirit. What is its opposite? The carnal woman, Babylon, worldly lust, referred to in Revelation as the pale horse and his rider. And followers of Christ, referred to in Revelation as 144,000. That opposite, the followers of Satan, referred to in Revelation as souls under the altar. These manifest discouragement and revenge, attributes of Satan. Those are the seven seals that Christian Science is opening with the truth. Opening these seven seals, these false beliefs, these opposites of what is true, exposing them for their nothingness, so they may be destroyed, and they will. It's prophesied in Revelation. The red dragon, which will destroy itself. Those are the seven seals of error. I thought that Kratzer explains it quite well. It makes it clear. So, as we are started off with knowing the science and health, the truth of this book is going out. This is what this book is doing. This truth is doing. Because Mrs. Eddy goes into all of this. This is why we work with it. You know, last week I told you, I believe it was last week, about how there is something operating, which is the seven seals of error, that would want to get rid of the Bible, take it out of our hands, rewrite it. And one of the things it wants to do is to get rid of that chapter in Revelation. Why would that be?
It uncovers all the evil.
It exposes what they're trying to do, exactly.
Yes. It uncovers the evil. And in this uncovering, we always have to keep it what?
Real?
Yes.
And impersonal.
Remember, it's neither person, place, nor thing. I don't care what face it's telling you it wears at the moment. It isn't. The suppositional opposite of the truth.
And it's powerless.
Yes, it is powerless.
So as you do your work, correct your thought, do your work for mankind, do your work for the church, and you experience the opposition that you will ultimately experience if your work is worth something, that opposition is never personal. It is the impersonal opposition to the Christ, as these seven seals don't want to be destroyed.
They don't want to be revealed. They want you to keep worshiping them, whether it's the worldly church or whatever else it calls itself.
And she's saying that love, the divine principle, is the only thing that can make this succeed.
Thank you. It is the only thing, which goes back to what Florence read at the beginning. We have something powerful in our textbook. Don't ever forget it. I'm going to close. I've told you I've been reading quotes from the wall mural at Longyear. I'm going to close with three of them. The first is from the Message to the Mother Church, the second from Christian Science versus Pantheism, and the last from the message of the, to the Mother Church for 1901. This is all Mrs. Eddy. Godliness, or Christianity, is a human necessity. Man cannot live without it. He has no intelligence, health, hope, nor happiness without godliness. This closing century and its successors will make strong claims on religion and demand that the inspired scriptural commands be fulfilled. Finally, rest assured, you can never lack God's outstretched arm so long as you are in His service. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.